Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
A little snowstorm out here in Brooklyn, Ontario, Canada, but nothing we can't manage.
No, it's long overdue. I mean, you're a Sasky boy. You've probably been wondering what's been going on the last month and a half.
I walked outside just to let the dogs go for a trot earlier today, and then I realized I was wearing shorts and a T-shirt. I got my slippers on with shorts and a T-shirt. I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
You better get ready, Dregs, because that dog of yours, when that snow melts, your backyard, watch out.
No, just buddy.
Watch. What?
No. I'm all over it, though. Look, I'm not some big dog rookie here, man. I've got a shovel at the bottom of the stairs, and at least once every 2 days, I'm out there shoveling.
Crap. Shoveling crap, right?
Correct.
Yeah, that's what we're
talking
about.
You shovel it and throw it over the neighbor's fence, or what do you have to do? But like, what is your routine? You shovel it and put it into a bag, and you put it in the garage, and like what? I don't know.
Yeah, it's gross, but essentially that's what you do. I live right adjacent to a forest. I've got trees on one side and trees right behind, but apparently, and I didn't know this till a couple of years ago, you're not supposed to throw your dog crap into the trees. So, and can get in trouble for it, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
And online stuff, Dregs. I mean, you and I live around the same neighborhood, and I see it all the time, the neighborhood post. Whoever left this on the trail, it's like you're taking pictures and posting them about a trail. You know, do you realize there's wild animals out there doing that, too?
Yeah,
like what are you analyzing this? Wow, but there are that's coming from.
There are lazy dog owners too that do the shoulder check after their dog has just taken a huge moose and just keep walking.
What if you guys haven't seen the worst video at all? When the lady, she used her mask to pick up the dog crap and then fired the mask back on.
Oh, stop it!
I swear on my life, it's out there on Twitter. She was like, I got to pick this up. She grabs her mask, puts it away, and then the mask fired right back up. It was beautiful.
Wow. So not to get too graphic or gross here, but I am. So Tiny, being 130 pounds, requires the extra large bags, okay? Ooh. I'm walking her in the fall, and normally she goes to the backyard, and it's all good. You know, no issues. I'm walking her down the street. She does her business on a boulevard, and it was the sloppiest mess you could ever imagine. And here
you
I am.
Take a call, Dregs. You take a call and you walk away.
No, I couldn't walk away. But what's worse is I'm trying my best to clean it up, and it was a two-hand job. And I mean, like, come on.
Yeah.
So. Anyway,
just stay away from my neighborhood. I know where you live. Stay over there. And I don't need to see that horse walking down my street.
Exactly.
Anytime soon. With Darren Dreger, a hockey insider. I feel like whenever we bring you on, Dregs, we're waiting to hear what's going to happen next with scheduling and with COVID and all that kind of stuff. And this one division in particular has been hit, you know, the hardest with Tampa and Carolina and Florida. And there's a weird theory that I'm starting to buy into is that it might actually open the door for one of the lesser teams like Chicago, maybe Detroit, to take advantage of that. If the scheduling is going to be so crazy for Carolina and for Tampa and Florida, who might be kicking around as a playoff team, maybe you could take advantage if you avoid it and your schedule gets spread out a little bit. It just might be a sloppier division, which could allow for more parity.
Right, and on top of that, if you're playing against those teams when the schedule returns back to form, you know, it's probably fairly safe that they're not 100% healthy. You know, I mean, the Buffalo Sabres not taking advantage of the Washington Capitals. Now, you know, Buffalo's in a different place than the Washington Capitals are, even without those four top players, but there's opportunity there. So when the schedule makers get down to further condensing and trying to squeeze these games in, it 100% is going to make an impact on some of those head-to-head meetings. And for sure, there's going to be opportunity. what the schedule makers and the commissioner's office are praying for is that there are no new outbreaks. You know, one or two cases on a team here or there, they can manage. I mean, that's what the taxi squad is all about. But if you have more of what we saw in Dallas, more of what we've seen in Carolina, then that further stresses out the schedule. And then there's only so many days that they have at the end of the regular season before they start the playoffs. So it could get real tense, especially in the second half.
Dregs, is there any kind of, you think there'll be a trickle-down effect from the Dubois-Laine trade where other teams are going to look and say, you know what, it's early, but I need this and I got to go looking for it?
Well, there could be. I talked to a few general managers today about that, and nobody seems overly moved on it. Frank Saravalli on Insider Trading tonight is keeping an eye on Vince Dunn and the St. Louis Blues. I think there's a strong chance he's going to be a healthy scratch. He hasn't played very well by all accounts. And that's kind of sparked some interest. You know, he's fresh off signing a one-year contract extension. But, you know, we're not going to see anything close, of course, to the magnitude that we saw between Winnipeg and Columbus. And, you know, what's gumming it up, and it's pretty obvious, again, related to COVID-19, is the quarantine issue. Yeah. You know, Dubois may not be available. He might miss as many as, I think I counted, 7 games today for Winnipeg. And conversely, the Winnipeg Jets are testing Patrick Laine in Winnipeg. Now, I believe he's still in Winnipeg, unless he left today. And it's an immigration thing. Until he gets his immigration papers cleaned up, then he's going to stay there. Columbus is going to send a private jet. And when he gets to Columbus, all he needs to quarantine for is 48 hours. And then he's good to go. So that would spook a lot of the Canadian interest as well in dealing with, you know, the 24 other teams around the National Hockey League on the U.S. side.
Well, the Leafs are in a position where their depth is getting challenged in terms of goaltending. Hutchinson's going to move in. They're not going to go out there and find another goalie unless they claim someone off waivers or something along those lines. But no one of substance. But up front, you know, their depth is strained a little bit. And I don't think Spez is going tonight because of his age, and they want to kind of ease him into the season, which might say something about how they feel about his game overall as well. I think if he was chugging and really playing well, he'd probably be playing tonight. Right. So where do you see that going, Dregs, in terms of, you know, the rumor mill and the idea that the Leafs might be looking to upgrade in their depth and specifically up front?
Well, I can't imagine Jason Spezza is okay with it. You know, even though there would have been a conversation prior to the start of the season saying, look, you know, no different than Joe, we're going to manage your games and with the back-to-backs and the tight schedule. You know, don't be surprised if there's some games where you're just not playing. You know, there are a few pro athletes in hockey who are willing to embrace that unless you're dinged up. But I don't get the sense in dealing with Leaf sources that they're actually looking at the market. I think that they want to give an opportunity to some of the younger players that they have in the system. Joey Anderson was considered to be a real good prospect coming into this regular season, so find out what he's all about. Likewise with Boyd, find out what he's all about. As you get deeper into the season, you know, if a player pops up that you could maybe squeeze into your top nine who has an upside to push into the top six, like a Zach Hyman, well, then maybe you consider that at that point. But right now, I think it's more about getting everyone settled down, but also making sure that organizationally they know what they have to work with.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. You know, they're not alone. There's teams throughout the league. We're 2 weeks in. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be you know, different things popping up on a daily basis. And we talked about it all offseason. Your depth is going to be challenged. You know, even if you're healthy, it's going to be challenged at some point.
No question.
That's what we're dealing with here already. So, yeah, we'll see. It's going to be a fun one tonight. And last night we talked a little bit about this in Vancouver, and I guess DJ Smith, the head coach in Ottawa, is already kind of laying down the framework of we better get it together and there could be lineup changes.
I got to interject here, guys.
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, there is a portion, I don't know how much, of Sen's Twitter that believe that DJ Smith is to blame for all of this, and I think that's crazy. And, you know, there is going to be growing pains. Yeah, these young kids are going to go through the process. And the veteran guys, like, they haven't played well. Anisimov's, no. Derek Stepan, you know, Braden Colburn's been in and out of the lineup.
Even like, Dadonov.
You know, Dadonov's got one goal, and he's got a couple looks, but he hasn't been a difference maker. But, like, it's still early, and I would much – this is just my opinion. I would much rather have DJ protect the younger players
right
through this uncertainty and not expose them to get rinsed.
Yeah.
Instead of putting them out there and saying sink or swim, and they get rinsed in a bad situation, and it takes them 2 weeks to recover. And, by the way, you don't have 2 weeks to recover because you're playing again the next night or two nights later. Like, I see that there is a plan there, but I the fan base is very passionate, and I respect that. But I just – they're going to be punching up every night. Like, Ottawa is playing a team on paper that is better than them. Every night this season. Every night.
Right. Yeah. Well, DJ can't stop the puck. And, you know, he can't defend. You know, Thomas Chabot was no good in that game. You know, defensively as a team, they were no good in that game. You know, I'm watching it, and I'm thinking to myself, man, did they miss Pageau? Now, you know, just because of everything that J.G. Pageau brought to that team and how responsible he was and all of that. So it's got to be about opportunity. You know, Colin White is a big contract sitting in the press box. He's going to be in the lineup tomorrow for the Ottawa Senators. In DJ Smith's mind, he looks at Colin White as the five center for the Ottawa Senators. Well, Colin White gets an opportunity because others are suffering through bad play. He's got to make the most of it. Colin White is going to change the fortunes of the Ottawa Senators in one game, but he might be able to change his own direction. And maybe there needs to be a little bit more self-accountability throughout that lineup. Otherwise, it's going to get ugly, a lot more ugly in a hurry.
Yep, no, you're right about that. And they're playing the same six teams every single time, right?
Yeah.
It's like Detroit's not waiting for them, Chicago.
Yeah, there's just there's no nights where you're like on the same page.
Yeah, they're going to win their games naturally.
Yeah, they will.
But they're in a tough spot, and they're only 2 weeks into this grind. We'll see where it goes. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider.